On a week or so ago, I brought a message to our ladies entitled, "Ladies, may I have your attention, please?" After that message, my wife, obviously, the obvious question, "Are you going to preach to the men?" And I said no. I had absolutely no intention of preaching to the men. And the reason was very simple. I had no message for the men. I wasn't going to address the men just because it seemed like the right thing to do. The Lord had given me a word to speak to our ladies, and that's what I did. And at the time, I had no word for the men from the Lord. And so I had intended not to address the men. But then in my studies of something entirely different, the Lord smote my heart very profoundly with this text of Scripture. And as it turns out, it is specific to us as men. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 17. "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." As I said a couple of weeks ago, in the afternoon session, I took the opportunity to address myself to the ladies of this congregation in specific. And I asked you to examine yourselves in the light of Proverbs 31 and prepare appropriately for 2019. I ask every one of you ladies today to go to Sermon Audio and listen again carefully to that message and give it your most earnest attention. But today, here this afternoon, I would like to address myself in a like manner to our men and ask you gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? I am speaking first and foremost to myself. It was just last week in our study together, of Bunyan's Holy War, that we heard that powerful sermon by Mr. Conscience to the carnal and wayward town of man's soul. And I quote Mr. Bunyan when he said there was such power and authority in that sermon, says Bunyan, "that the like hath seldom been heard or seen." But then Bunyan tells us, as he did show to man's soul their sin, and I'm quoting Mr. Bunyan, "as he did show to man's soul their sin, he did tremble before them under the sense of his own guilt, crying out of himself as he preached to them, unhappy man that I am, that I should do so wicked a thing that I, a preacher, should live so senseless and sottishly and be one of the first found in transgression. I should have cried against the wickedness, but I let man's soul lie wallowing in it. How very painfully I feel that self-condemnation myself today. But like him, I must preach the truth. If we were to address you today as husbands, we could no doubt turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and find there great volumes of instruction for our admonition in the proper treatment of those weaker vessels, loving them as your own bodies, etc. If we were to address ourselves to our work as fathers, we would no doubt find again volumes of instruction all through the Bible, a proverbial parenting manual of divine origin, not the least of which we could search Ephesians chapter 6 with instructions not to provoke our children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and all that entails laid out for us there in Ephesians chapter 6, if we were to address ourselves as fathers. If we were to address you this afternoon as brethren, brothers in Christ, we would find much to instruct us from Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. And from 2 Peter 1:7, to add to other virtues, brotherly kindness and mutual care. I say, if I were to address you this afternoon as husbands, if I were to address you as fathers, if I were to address you as brethren, all we may find in this blessed, inspired Word of God, for all of those roles, vast wealths of knowledge, instruction, and admonition for us in each and every one of these roles. But it is not as husbands that I admonish you today. It is not only as fathers or as brothers that I would admonish our hearts today, but it is as men. In this vile generation of gender neutrality, this God-denying generation of gender ambiguity, I boldly proclaim to you this day that God created Adam and Eve. So God created, Genesis 1:27, man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And from that very day, he set them in his garden to glorify his name and do his work, and prescribed for them both their individual roles. Roles which were not the fruit of social evolution or the development of mere cultural mores that may be reassigned in every succeeding generation, but roles appointed by God, set by none other than the hand of Almighty Wisdom. It is a man thus created. It is to men thus created and thus appointed that I would address you today, and I would address you, my brothers, to take to yourselves a lesson today, a lesson from Jeremiah the prophet, in which our Lord sets this admonition before that man so long ago. Verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. My brethren, I lay this charge at your feet today. In order to make knowledgeable of the nature of this charge, I must remind you of the nature of Jeremiah's ministry. Jeremiah labored for more than 40 years. Some scholars say more than 50. We'll take the more conservative estimate and say that he labored for more than 40 years. In a time when Israel was completely overrun by idolatry and iniquity. He prophesied of their captivity in Babylon and fought hard to turn them from their sins. Kyle says that the nation had come to utter ruin by its apostasy from God, and on account of its calf worship. When along comes this son of a priest, raised up at a very young age to thunder out God's law and God's damnation on all lawbreakers in Israel. He was called by one the evening star in a declining day. He was called by another commentator the herald of the dissolution of the commonwealth. He came along at a time of great falling away. Most historians say he was eventually stoned to death in exile in Egypt. The scripture doesn't tell us. But whatever his end was, Calvin surely got it right when he characterized Jeremiah's life, his whole life, as, quote, hard and arduous. While he thundered out the fire and threatenings of God on Israel, he struggled, we know from the scripture, he struggled himself with despair and melancholy. Like Job, even cursing at one time the day that he was born. Jeremiah 20 and verse 14. Oh, how human was this man. There were plots for his murder and trouble on every hand. This is the man to whom the Lord says, thou gird up thy loins. Arise, speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Four simple instructions this morning for men. Number one, gird up thy loins. Can I just translate that into modern expression? Get ready for work and war. The purpose, the expression all through the Bible, girding up one's loins, you're familiar, of course. The garments that they wore were loose and flowing because of the climate and the location. When it came time for a man to do something that involved his full agility and energy, he needed to pull those garments up and tie them down and gird himself, ready to run, ready to fight, ready to work, ready to do whatever was needed. God comes to this prophet as a man. And says, as a man, Jeremiah, gird up your loins. Get ready to work. Get ready to war. We now, going into 2019, we have need, men, to gird up our loins. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind, men. This hour is not the season for wimpish indecisiveness. This is not the season for wimpish indecisiveness. This is the time for men to gird up their loins. Number two, speak unto them. Silence will not do. Silence will not do. This hour is not the season for retreat into the sanctuary of silence, but for open and clear testimony. To the very best of your friends, to the very nearest and dearest of your family, to your neighbors, to your wife, it is time to speak. Speak unto them. Our God charges Jeremiah as a man. Number three, speak unto them all that I command thee. This hour is not the season for selective testimony. Cowering from what is unpopular and unsavory. It is not the time to cower from truths, though they be not popular. It is not the time to cower and fall away from sound and proven practices, though they be discredited and in disrepute in our generation. This is not the time for a selectiveness in our obedience to God. Speak to them all that I command you. There's no blushing at God's law. You have no reason to hang your head and feel yourself a second-class citizen for standing on God's law. Be a man. I speak to you as men. Fourthly, be not dismayed. I did a bit of research on this word, and I am not stretching its meaning, but rather extracting its meaning when I say to you that it literally means to fall prostrate, to break down. Now is not the time to break down. Now is not the time to fall prostrate. Now is the time to gird up your loins and speak all, and do not crumble under the weight or the pressure of the times, the hours, or the people. Be not dismayed. This is not the time for any unmanly retreat. It is not the time to fall down, but to stand up. And I can assure you, as I have said to you numerous times from this pulpit, unless God in His mercy sends a great revival to this land, we will face hours in which standing will take every ounce of manliness you may muster. This hour is not the hour for retreat. Gird up your loins. Speak to them. Speak to them all that I commanded you, and do not be dismayed. But I give you, in closing, the consolation. What a consolation. For we in ourselves have neither the energy, the strength, the knowledge, the wisdom, the power to do any of this. None of this. But for the grace of God. And so, to Jeremiah's help, 40 years he was to face. After this chapter, 40+ years he was to face a trial and dismay and discouragement and frustration and all the horrible words you can bring from the dictionary. Everything you can apply to Jeremiah. But here's the word that the Lord said, spoke to Jeremiah, verse 18. I have made thee. I have made thee. You're not a self-made man. These things are not the fruit of some course you took in college on being a manly man. These are not the fruits of imitating Arnold Schwarzenegger and other big men physically. I have made thee this day. And I wish I had time to expand on every one of these terms, but I simply give them to you. I have made thee this day a defensed city. I've made thee an iron pillar. I've made thee brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings and against princes and against the priests and even against the people of the land. I've made thee these things. And yes, verse 19, they shall fight against thee. They shall not prevail. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. What else can we ask as men? What else could we ask than that the Lord would be with us? Indeed, all else will seem as nothing. All else will seem as nothing if He be with us. May God grant all of us, every one of us men, to gird up our loins in 2019 to speak all and to not be dismayed.